to order at 10:05 a.m. Ashley, will you please call the roll?
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Hallisey?
Here.
Commissioner Louie?
Here.
Commissioner Clark Herrera?
Here.
And Commissioner Wintraub?
Here.
And please note that Commissioner Zwart and Commissioner Mazzola have excused absences. The San Francisco Recreation and Park Commission acknowledges that we occupy the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone peoples, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. We honor the Ramaytush Ohlone peoples for their enduring commitment to Mother Earth. As the indigenous protectors of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As stewards of parkland, we recognize our duty to honor the Ohlone through thoughtful and informed preservation and interpretation of ancestral land. As uninvited guests, we affirm their sovereign rights as First Peoples and wish to pay our respects to the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush community. Good morning and welcome to the Recreation and Park Commission. Please turn off electronic devices and take any conversations outside. Public comment will be available for each item on the agenda. Unless otherwise announced by the chair, each person will have 2 minutes for public comment on each item. Comments or opportunities to speak during the public comment period are available both in person in City Hall, Room 416, and remotely. Please address your comments to the commission during public comment on items. Neither the commission nor staff will respond to any questions during public comment, but the commission may ask questions of staff after public comment is closed. General public comment is reserved for items not on today's agenda that are under the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission. Public comment may also be submitted via email and U.S. mail. Please note that this commission meeting is recorded. We are now on item two, the president's report.
Thank you so much, Ashley. Happy September, everyone. It already feels like fall. The Rec and Park Department held our second annual Labor Day event for our employees, and over 150 employees attended. It was a jubilant celebration. Our employees represent 17 different unions, and they're superlative in all the things that they do to make our rec programs popular, art, culture, and nursery, plants, gardens, everything. We're incredibly proud of them. It was really an honor to attend the events. I'm going to let a couple of my commissioners comment a little more deeply, but I did want to say that the Lawn Bowling Club of San Francisco, which is over 120 years old now, I think, invited the commissioners to learn about lawn bowling with them, and Commissioners Louie and Hallisey and Wintraub and Clark Herrera and I were there. In fact, we had to notice a public meeting because so many of us attended, and I'm wondering if Commissioner Louie and Hallisey, did you guys want to say anything?
Well, I'll first add that Ashley was also part of our party and showed great skill that day. I will say this is one of the most enjoyable days I've had as a commissioner, and I've had many. It was that good. The people are incredibly welcoming, incredibly patient. They gave great positive comments about their interactions with General Manager Ginsburg. It was just a fantastic day and fun, I think, for everyone. And there's no surprise that there's over 250 members in that club, and their goal is to get 100 more. And we might have five or six right here. Excellent.
Commissioner Louie.
As you know, we have so many secret historical gems within the park. And being natives of San Francisco, I'm embarrassed to say that I did not know about lawn bowling. We drive by it all the time. Many of us take it, you know, through to Nancy Pelosi Drive or on our way to the conservatory, and we drive right past the lawn bowling that has been there since 1901. So we want to thank the Lawn Bowling Society. We want to thank you, Phil. They spoke about you and how you brought that to. And I have news for you. We have several, you know, sharp lawn bowlers here, right here, you know, hidden, humble Commissioner Winthrop. She was amazing. And Commissioner Clark Herrera this morning told me she's already filled out a membership form. So I myself is going to join. It's really fun. It is not compared to bocce ball. The ball is not round. There's several things. So it's required that you take three lessons. The us showing up that day considered one, so we have two more left.
Yeah.
But it was loads of fun.
And I'd like
and
to
the weather out there and the space that they have,
yeah,
and what they've done to appreciate the park and the yeah. membership and the people. There's all ages. Like, it was incredible.
Yeah. And one more thing. I've already invested in my lawn bowling jacket, which I thought I'd wear to commission today, but they're very nice people. President John Grimes is a wonderful man, as well as Al and Calvin. And it was just a really fun day, and I invite you guys to try lawn bowling. You know, yeah. they have lawn bowling. It's free, and it's really yeah. fun.
Free lessons. Yep. Something for everyone there, along with the membership. Not only do you get to lawn bowl, but you have opportunity to engage in competitions and tournaments all over the world. And, in fact, I met a young lady, a youth. Her name is Adeline Zeno, and she is a world champion lawn bowler in her age category. Wow. I think she was about 12. I met her dad, Marcus, and she's traveling to Australia next to compete. And she is a product of our San Francisco Lawn Bowling Club. So we are so proud of her and all the other youth that are getting involved. It is absolutely a sport for all ages. Phil, did you have something to add?
Well, is this mine?
There you go. Commissioners, I was simply in the spirit of the moment going to propose, since you are you believe that there's so much talent, lawn bowling talent on the commission, I was going to propose the first ever commission versus staff lawn bowling competition.
We're in. Bring it on.
Susan Stone,
as long as we ever.
Stacy Bradley, and Brian Stokel, Yael Golan,
yes.
and Antonio Guerra is he's our ace in the hole. So
we got Aunt Loopy. Don't worry.
Ashley, we're not going to allow this to be idle chat. We're going to make this happen.
I'm on it.
I'm taking him on. Love the idea. let's see what else here. Pardon me. I think I got it all covered because we're going to honor Annie next month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ashley? Okay. Right on. Okay. I think that concludes my report. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Is there any public comment on the president's report in room 416? Oh, we have some public comment from Brian. Here. There you go.
Hello, Brian.
Hi, my name is Brian Stokel, citizen of San Francisco.
I was going to say, are you appearing in a professional or personal capacity?
Personal
here,
capacity
Mr. Stokel?
Okay, as a fourth generation lawn bowler.
Oh.
Dating back to England, where my grandparents were from. I wholly endorse your visit to the lawn bowling club and
yes.
continued. Collaboration with them and spirited competition between all parties.
I love it. Okay, I have to add something. So I'm a Scot. My maiden name is Stewart, where lawn bowling was invented, allegedly. So I helped our team win. We had 3 points. I got two. Joe got one. So bring it on.
I mean, Sarah Madeline just walked into the door. She doesn't even know what she's walking into.
And, yeah, you're going to be on the staff team, lawn bowling us. Yeah,
no, no,
staff
no,
versus commissioners.
No.
Staff. You're now on the team playing against the commissioners in lawn bowling.
Going down.
No, no. Bring it, girl. Bring it.
I did have
one other thing. We had a lovely ceremony for Vice President Joe Hallisey. He's been sworn in for another 4-year term at USF. It was an amazing event. Sonia is next. She's on the 25th at City Hall at 4:30. Is that right? Sonia, yes. And the whole world is invited. And I'm inviting the whole world to mine, which is going to be Saturday, September 28th at 5 p.m. at Moscone Recreation Center Gymnasium. Why there? Because that's where I grew up, and that's where my kids grew up, playing there and in the playground next door and hanging out at the Marina Library. We've spent
that's
more time
wonderful.
There than any other when my kids were growing up. So please come. All are invited. Bring your family. Bring your kids. I'm going to have kid-friendly goodies and all sorts of things. So we're going to make it a joyous occasion. And thank you, London Breed and the City and County of San Francisco, for your votes of confidence for all of us. We're very grateful to serve. Okay, now I'm really done.
Okay. Just double-checking, were there any hands raised on our WebEx for public comment? I don't think so. Okay. Seeing no further public comment is closed. We're now on item 3, General Manager's Report.
Thank you, Commissioners. Music, music, music. That's my report, big theme of my report today. We had our inaugural Golden Gate Park Concert Series, which kicked off last month, the weekend after Outside Lands, and it was a huge success. We had a sold-out show featuring the headliners System of a Down and the Deftones. We had approximately 50,000 people in the polo fields, and I was one of them. I got to see how this new concert series was working. We had everybody was really, really, frankly, well-behaved, enjoying the music, enjoying the park, and it was a smashing success. As you know, this is part of our agreement with Another Planet Entertainment to put on concerts in Golden Gate Park and downtown plazas for the next 3 years. And, you know, Another Planet deserves some thanks and some kudos because they've taken the downtown free concert part of this quite seriously. So next up, tomorrow night is the second of their 3 free downtown concerts. It features the Grammy-winning rock band Portugal the Man. As well as the musical act Snack Time and DJ Omar Perez. The concert takes place right out here at Civic Center Plaza tomorrow night at 7 p.m. It's free, but attendees are still encouraged to RSVP at anotherplanetapeconcerts.com. But wait, there's more, because on Saturday, the party moves to Union Square. We're a partnership between SF Live, the Union Square Alliance, Cafe du Nord, and Yes, Reckon Park. Features San Diego-based South African electronic duo Goldfish, Bay Area-raised rapper and performance artist Mickey Blanco, and Aussie electronic musician and producer Bag Raiders. The last new band I ever heard of, his name was Dave Matthews, so I don't know any of these bands, but I'm told, thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Clark Herrera, for infusing this commission with a little bit of
context.
Yeah, context and culture and youth. Anyway, so we've got a big thing happening Friday in Civic Center, a big thing happening Saturday at Union Square. But there's even more as Flower Piano kicked off last week at the San Francisco Botanical Garden. I was at the opening ceremony. Honestly, we do a lot of special things. This goes right to the top of the list.
I think so as well. How did you come up with that?
Oh,
it's just a beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, genius strikes in many ways. I don't know what to tell you, Commissioner Clark Herrera. They approached us. The concert's 10 days from September 13th to the 22nd. I was actually back again on Tuesday, and we have 12 baby grand pianos sprinkled throughout the park. And you know, kudos to the Golden Gate, to the Gardens of Golden Gate Park. They really are the curators of this event. We obviously maintain the garden and work very closely with them. They partner with an organization called Sunset Piano. And throughout the next 10 days, you'll see a bunch of scheduled and curated performances, and performances from, including from the opera and the symphony, all kinds of music. But perhaps the most fun thing to do is to just stroll around every nook and cranny of the garden, find an empty piano, and listen to somebody playing it. And it's really quite lovely. The Conifer Lawn is known for its sing-alongs, a little hint. So if you go to the Conifer Lawn, be prepared to sing catchy tunes from the 70s. Anyway, it's fantastic. But wait, there's still more, because from October 4th to the 6th, Hardly Strictly Bluegrass comes back to Hellman Hollow and Marks and Lindley Meadows. It will feature more than 70 acts, including Rock and Roll Hall of Fame musician Patti Smith, Sleater Kinney, Buddy Miller, and Emmylou Harris, just to name a few. And then at India Basin, we also have our Fall Sounds of the Street, Sounds of the Streets India Basin Concert Series. It takes place in India Basin Shoreline Park on Saturdays and Sundays through mid-November. You can enjoy soul, R&B, funk, swing, a lot of everything. This is a partnership with the nonprofit Illuminate, and it's part of the new India Basin Waterfront Equitable Development Plan. I think we had about 100 or 150 people out there last weekend, which is amazing, mm-hmm. just amazing. And if music's not your thing, but theater is, I encourage you to attend Free Shakespeare in the Park, who is hosting a production of The Tempest. It's happening this weekend at Sue Bierman Park, just next to Embarcadero Plaza. The last performances of this classic are Saturday, September 21st, and Sunday, September 22nd, starting at 2 p.m. Yet another free production. There is just so much happening all around our park system. This is part of a big renovation at Embarcadero Plaza and part of the larger downtown renovation, which features events hosted by Summer Bricks. They do something called First Thursdays. We've got our Padel courts. So whether it's Sue Bierman or Embarcadero Plaza or performances at Jerry Garcia or in Golden Gate Park, there is just a lot going on right now in our parks. So please get out and enjoy yourselves. And speaking of downtown revitalization, today, and I may have to leave a little early, depending upon how long I go in this report. In part,
Speed it up,
but today we're celebrating the opening of our new food purveyor, Limoncello, opening up at the Civic Center Plaza kiosk, formerly known as the Byright kiosk. Limoncello's first day is today. This is a very, very, very popular, beloved San Francisco place. They already have two locations in the city, one in Pacific Heights, one in the Mission. This marks their third location and is a big milestone for the city's downtown renaissance. This new location is going to serve pizza, sandwiches, and gelato starting today. Limoncello's food, its service, its atmosphere have garnered nearly 2,000 five-star reviews on Yelp at its other locations. So I really want to thank the Civic Center CBD. I want to thank the Limoncello owner, Jalal Hadari, for making this possible. 11:30 today, which is just after the debut of the new Maya Angelou sculpture in front of the San Francisco Public Library. So we just have a lot going on. And if Annie were here, we would celebrate the Bay Sox. We'll do that in October. But I do want to note that the mayor honored our very own all-girls youth baseball champions, the San Francisco Bay Sox. The 16 and under team won its second national championship after winning in the 14 and under division last year. They started 3-1 in the round robin portion of the tournament before making it to the championship, where they beat the Toronto Cardinals 10-9 in a nail biter. The 14 and under team began the tournament with 3 wins in its round robin bracket, closing with a 4-2 record, good for 4th place out of 16 teams in its division. And then we had a 12 and under team there too, one of the youngest teams in the division, finishing with a 1-4 record, but gaining a lot of experience, and they will be our next national champions, no doubt. Mm-hmm. In their honor, the mayor declared Thursday, September 12th to be Bay Sox Day in San Francisco. So I really want to congratulate all the players, the coaches, the volunteers. Real tip of the cap to Annie Jupiter Jones for her leadership in this program. This is absolutely and definitively one of the very strongest all-girls baseball programs in the entire country. And that makes me extremely, extremely proud. I want to comment quickly and celebrate the Richmond Playground, which reopened earlier this month following a $3.5 million makeover. New features include a bear tower sculpture, challenging climbing rock slides, imaginative play areas. To test out the new playground, we gathered a group of our toughest critics, our city's kids. We captured their reviews in a video, which is available to see on our YouTube channel. Check it out. It's really, really cute. Might even be a couple of guest star youth performances in there. Stacey Bradley. The renovation funded by the 2012 Clean and Safe Neighborhood Bond and our Let's Play SF initiative with the San Francisco Parks Alliance is an absolute hit with neighborhood kids. Thanks to Let's Play SF, which, again, about a $35 million public-private partnership with about $15 million in private funds. We've transformed 13 time-worn playgrounds into dynamic hubs for creative and imaginative play. Next up, I believe, is Stern Grove. And a big shout-out to Lisa Branston for all her amazing work in managing the partnership, and to Stacey Bradley and her team for actually building the playground. Speaking of playtime, we've got some updates about cool stuff happening in our pools. For the first time since before the pandemic, Rec and Park is bringing back public swimming 7 days a week. Thanks to a pilot program launching on Thursday, September 26th, the program, we do live in a world of constrained resources, and we do not want to pretend otherwise, but by staggering schedules at various pools, we have coverage somewhere throughout the city 7 days a week. So the way this is going to work, at Garfield and Rossi, we'll be open now Sundays through Thursdays, with all of our other pools opening, remaining open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so we've got some good geographic balance. Rossi and Garfield were chosen for the Sunday pilot due to their strategic locations on opposite sides of the city, and also their large, shallow areas. Not all pools are the same, which cater to both kids and adults. Both pools are also well served by public transit and are located within 2 to 3 miles of additional neighborhood pools. So there is some place to swim for everyone 7 days a week. The pilot program is based on a rather robust community engagement process. We had surveys open over 5 weeks. There were some social media opportunities. Feedback was quite favorable for increasing weekend swim time, particularly for families. So we're going to give this a shot, and we'll report back and let you know how it goes. It's pretty exciting. Just two more announcements. Saturday, California Coastal Cleanup Day. We're hosting a Great Highway volunteer event from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For the event, we're partnering with the Surf Rider Foundation and Friends of Great Highway to bring people down to this amazing space between Judah and Irving. Volunteers can make an impact by helping to pick up trash, remove invasive plants, and plant California natives, which will help prevent coastal erosion and sand erosion onto the road. The new volunteer event will be recurring monthly, and people can sign up on our website, sfrecpark.org. And lastly, and most celebratorily, because I'm not sure we are together again beforehand, and if we are, I'll just repeat it. I want to announce something. Obviously, our department is very passionate about the opening of the 900 Innis phase of our India Basin Waterfront Park in the Bayview. This is perhaps the largest park project, city park project in our history. The 900 Innis phase of the project will open to the public on October 19th. And as we do with all elements of the project, community first, so we want to open with a big community celebration. The new site will feature a completely rehabilitated landmark shipwright's cottage, a food pavilion, a maker's shop for shipbuilding classes and boat building classes, and a new operations and maintenance building that will be a hub of a pre-apprenticeship program. We've got two amazing new public piers, a floating dock, a restored segment of the Bay Trail. It's just really remarkable, and we're so excited to welcome everybody down on October 19th. And that, commissioners, concludes your general manager's report. Oh, no, it doesn't, because I'm very excited to bring up our fabulous, wonderful chair of the Parks Recreation Open Space Advisory Committee, Wendy Aragon, and we're going to do this from time to time, where Prozac is going to give you a short report about some of the things that they've been working
on. Yes, thank you,
together
Phil.
With us on behalf of our parks.
Okay, always have to lower this mic. I forget how short I am. So, good morning, commissioners. Thank you. I just want to give an update for the last quarter of our Prozac report. Our past meetings, we kicked off April with Environmental Awareness Month by having one of my favorite D1 residents, Nancy DeStefanis, come to speak about the Blue Heron program. I highly recommend that you bring her here. She's hilarious, and it was probably one of our favorite presentations that we had. Polvere came to talk about the work that they do on environmental justice and reclaiming spaces that are formerly parking lots, brownfields, and turning them into parks that benefit the community. We also were lucky to have Commissioners Wintrom and Zwart come to address us. Unfortunately, I was out with COVID, so I didn't get to be part of that meeting, but I would definitely love to have you come back. And we had a presentation on natural resource management. We have a new member, Eric Randall, who was appointed by the Board of Supervisors as our at-large member. And we're really excited because he's actually taking the lead with our District 6 rep on community engagement and outreach to not only talk about how the department does community engagement and outreach, but how we as PROSAC members can be a lot better and what we can do to work in our communities. For me, that's a really exciting presentation because I really value participatory governance and community outreach. So we're excited to see how that goes. We also have Taylor Emerson will be coming to give us our capital plan and operational plan updates. And again, commissioners, always welcome to come to PROSAC meetings and sit with us. We're looking forward. I know Commissioner Clark Guerrera has said that she's interested in coming, so hopefully we'll have you there soon. And then in the new year, we're hoping to have what was for the first time last year, President Anderson came and kind of gave us an overview of the commission's work and what they were looking forward to working on in the coming year. And always Phil comes to give us his general manager's update. So that's what's coming up in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy.
Wonderful.
And that really does conclude the general manager's report.
Okay, thank you, Phil.
All right, is there any public comment in room 416 on the general manager's report? Seeing none, do we have any hands raised on our WebEx? No hands raised. Public comment is closed. All right, we are now on item 4, general public comment. This is for items that are not on today's agenda, and we will continue to item 10. Is there anyone here to give general public comment? Okay, seeing none, do we have any hands raised for general public comment? Nope. Thank you. General public comment is closed. We're now on item 5, the consent calendar. Commissioners, before we take public comment, is there anything you'd like to remove from consent today? All right. Is there anyone here to comment on item 5? Okay, seeing none, do we have any hands raised on our WebEx? Thanks, Matthew. No hands raised. Public comment is closed. Commissioners?
All right, my fellow commissioners, all those in favor of approving the consent calendar, please state aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Can we have a motion first?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. May I please have a motion to approve our consent calendar?
I move that we approve the consent calendar.
And a second?
I second.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposition? None. Consent calendar is approved. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you. All right, we're now on item 6, the San Francisco Zoo Report. I think we have Cassie here from the zoo to
welcome
give her
Cassie.
Report.
Lots of fun stuff going on at the zoo.
And do you have a visual, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. International Red Panda Day.
SFGov TV, can you put up the visual?
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead. Thanks.
My name is Cassandra Peña. I am the education coordinator at the San Francisco Zoo and Gardens. Today I will be presenting on the youth education programs. Highlighting our Conservation Summer Camp 2024. This is our largest running program at the zoo. This year we welcomed 2,094 campers across the grades pre-K to eighth grade. Some of our group names and themes were our Little Explorers, our Animal Adventurers, our Conservation Rangers. Each group reflects unique themes that promote learning and connecting to the natural world. This year, we enhanced our curriculum by incorporating conservation messaging. This initiative aims to educate our campers about the importance of biodiversity and the need for conservation. We mainly focused on our 14 critically endangered species, some of them being our axolotl, our gorilla, our Panamanian gold frogs, some lemurs, the blue-throated macaw. Within these lessons, we covered their habitats, the behaviors, the threats, and as well as how they are cared for at the zoo. Within our programs, we strive to ensure all children have access to our educational experience. Our educational outreach allows us to provide scholarship for families and open doors to many children who might not have otherwise been able to attend. One of our new community partners is with Children's Council of San Francisco. This year, we gave away 66 scholarships to families of San Francisco. As part of our educational outreach, we also have our bilingual zoo camps, which began 3 years ago as a Spanish bilingual camp. This camp was first accessible to first responders' families, and then open to staff and to the public. This program has grown to serve diverse groups of campers, welcoming children from various backgrounds, fostering language skills and community engagement. This program is offered in the spring and now in the fall from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And it also includes admission, free admission all day for our participants. More on our curriculum. Animal encounters are essential to our lesson planning. These interactions not only engage students, but is also aligned to our educational goals. Campers get to hear directly from the zoo staff about the unique qualities of these special animals. They also learn about their care and the different types of enrichment they receive at the zoo. One of our favorites of the families at the zoo that come to our camps is the koala keeper talk. Students get to learn about the koala really up close and at times get to pet the koala. Scientific journals, observations, sketching, and art classes were added to our zoo education program and our curriculum. Every camper is given a science notebook for them to take notes, collect observations, and learn about conservation, animals, and their habitats. They also get to do some art projects inside of their notebooks, depending on what age group it is. Camp groups have access to our art classes. Art classes provide a creative outlet for children, encouraging self-expression and exploration. Our art projects are designed to our educational goals as well, with themes such as animal habitats and biodiversity. We also have object-oriented learning, such as our biofacts. They were used as scientific information with our campers. By looking closely at real objects in the collection, campers learn more about zoology and the different animal species. Our camp also provides plenty of spaces for exploring outdoors and having fun in the nature, such as Stickland, the Nature Trail, and our playfield lawn, our favorites of all our campers' families. This year, for our Teen Leadership DEAI program, we had 40 high school students from the ages 15 to 17. They were able to engage with our zoo campers, learn about enrichment and conservation. They were also able to visit with multiple departments behind the scenes. Our teen leaders serve as role models for our campers. They are able to share their knowledge and enthusiasm for wildlife and conservation, inspiring campers and developing similar interests. And lastly, our next steps for 2024-2025 is to increase our diversity within the staff and volunteers. We will be expanding our bilingual program this fall. We will have Spanish camp as well as Chinese and Cantonese bilingual camps. And then we will have our summer conservation camp again in 2025 from the months June to August, and we will be restarting our learner's cabin. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone here to comment on item six, the San Francisco Zoo report? Seeing none, do we have any hands raised on our WebEx? No hands raised. Commissioners, before we move on, did you want to say anything or ask any questions?
Thank you.
All right, we are now on item 7, Great Highway Public Restroom Revocable Permit for Arts Commission, a project that I worked on many, 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 many years ago.
Welcome, welcome.
You have a visual, right?
Yeah. Could you step back at the beginning?
SFPD visual.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Brian Stokel. Good morning, General Manager Ginsburg. The item before you today is the revocable permit for the Arts Commission at the Great Highway Public Restroom. Regarding a possible action to authorize a revocable permit for an Arts Commission installation in front of the Judah Great Highway Restroom building on the lower Great Highway sidewalk. I am joined today by Marcus Davies from the Arts Commission, who will speak in a moment to cover the project scope and history. The project is located in the Outer Sunset neighborhood, as shown on the map with the gold star. The artwork will be installed on the sidewalk of the lower Great Highway at Judah Street in front of the restroom building facing the N. Judah Muni Metro turnaround. It will be sited in the small blue rectangle on the map you can see on your screen. The sidewalk here falls under the jurisdiction of the Recreation and Parks Department, so the department would be issuing the permit for the art pieces. We're asking the commission whether or not to authorize the permit to install the art project. Now I'll introduce, have Marcus come up from the Arts Commission, who will describe the project and its background. Marcus.
Brian.
Welcome, Marcus.
Hi, good morning, everyone. And thank you for allowing me time to present a bit of background information on this project. The Judah Street Art Project was originally conceived in 2017 as a component of a community-led initiative to improve safety and the quality of public space at the N. Judah Terminus and turnaround at Judah Street and Lower Great Highway. Partnering with District 4 Supervisor Katie Tang, SF Planning, Judah Street Merchants, and the La Playa Park Council, the Arts Commission conducted a competitive art selection typical to our projects. Through a review panel process, San Francisco artist Jesse Schlesinger was selected to contract with the city to create a series of site-specific artworks made from durable and maintainable materials intended to promote the use and enjoyment of the plaza setting. Jesse Schlesinger is a multidisciplinary visual artist working in sculpture, site-specific installation, drawing, and photography. His work is fundamentally concerned with place and how the natural environment, architectural context, and historical precedent contribute to experience and understanding. Labor and craft are key elements to his practice. In 2018, the larger train turnaround project was determined to be unfeasible, but collective support for Jesse's conceptual design, seen here, allowed for his continued engagement with the neighborhood as he re-envisioned his work as an enhancement of the sidewalk space along the Outer Judah corridor. Following a detailed survey of existing conditions and accessibility requirements, Jesse's final artwork design inhabits two important locations within the westernmost blocks of Judah Street, a grouping of 7 sculptures along the community garden at the northwest corner of Judah Street and 43rd, and 3 sculptures on the west sidewalk of Lower Great Highway at Judah Street. This is the location under consideration today. Jesse's sculptures for this project are composed of concrete pedestals supporting organic forms cast in bronze and carved from stone quarried in California. The work evokes the city's unique western edge, where the urban grid meets the openness of the shoreline and the ocean. The sculptures are intended to weather with time like objects found and collected on the beach. This is various slides of Jesse's materials and process with a mock-up of the final artwork that you can see on the lower left, bronze on its plinth. The sculptures are scaled to the streetscape and pedestrian experience, ranging in size from 4.5 to 7.75 feet tall and 1.5 to 6 feet in width parallel to the curb. The work will be located within the sidewalk furnishing zone in accordance with accessibility requirements. They will be installed without excavation of the existing sidewalk by an engineered and reversible rod and epoxy system. Each artwork will be treated with sacrificial clear coating for graffiti abatement. Throughout the project planning and implementation process, the Arts Commission has encouraged public input through multiple community meetings and site visits and has received the ongoing support of past and current District 4 supervisors. If approved, I anticipate the artwork installation to take place in October or November of this year.
Thank you, Marcus. The art installation was analyzed for its environmental impacts and received a categorical exemption. Department staff and Arts Commission staff have worked together and developed the draft revocable use permit covering installation and maintenance agreements for the art pieces. The Arts Commission would be responsible for ongoing maintenance of the artwork, its care, and its removal if the permit is revoked. Installation has been coordinated with Rec and Park Operations. Thank you all. That concludes our presentation. Marcus and I are available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Do we have any public comment on item 7 in room 416? Seeing none, do we have any hands raised on our WebEx? No hands raised. Public comment is closed. Commissioners?
Commissioner Hallisey.
Yeah, a question for you, Marcus, if you don't mind.
Of course.
If we approve this today, the Arts Commission will circle back to us with a maintenance agreement prior to the installation. That is correct?
We have a maintenance agreement that is in the works and is ready for signature by both parties.
Okay, so that'll come back to us before the actual installation.
It may come back to the department unless you want to see it.
Oh, okay.
I think what would happen is when the agreement is signed, this is something that more typical for the department to sign.
Okay, very good.
We can confirm that it's done, though, for you. Yeah.
Excellent.
That was our intention and understanding, but we can do whatever makes sense for the
Thank
department.
Thank you, Marcus.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, Brian, as well.
All right, I have no other comments from commissioners.
Would anyone like to make a motion?
All right, so I'll take a motion and a second on the following: to authorize a revocable permit for an Arts Commission installation in front of the Judah Great Highway restroom building on Lower Great Highway sidewalk.
I'll second that.
No, first I need a motion and then I need a second. Who's moving? Wintraub moves, Louis seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? None. Thank you.
All right, we're now on item 8, Crocker Amazon Playground grant accept and expend and donor recognition.
Okay.
Fun stuff.
Button. Sorry, I'm getting there, commissioners. Okay.
SFGov TV, can you put up the presentation? Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. I'm Susan Sun in the Partnerships Division.
Good morning.
I have a little bit of a cough today, but I'm not contagious, so I'm hoping I don't have the nightmare scenario of getting my coworker to come up and read my slides for me instead of me. So I said I'm with the Partnerships Division, and I'm here with number 8, a discussion and possible action to accept and expend an in-kind grant from the U.S. Soccer Foundation valued at approximately $99,000 for a soccer mini pitch at Crocker Amazon Playground, and to approve a donor recognition element on the mini pitch. So to begin my presentation, I just wanted to take a brief moment to highlight the department's connection to soccer. Since 2010, the department has hosted men's and women's Live Cup World viewing parties. These events have engaged and drawn San Franciscans of all ages to the sport of soccer, and I should say that my first event at Rec and Park was staffing one of these events.
Fun.
Here's a few photos of the thousands of fans who have attended the free watch parties. They take place all over the city in the wee hours of the morning before the sun comes up and late into the evening. Families and fans of all ages come flocking in team colors to share the thrill of the glory and sadness of defeat for one common goal, which is to find community and a shared love of soccer. And lastly, we have some fans caught in moments of celebration, disbelief, and people hugging complete strangers. Needless to say, San Franciscans of all ages love soccer. So with that, I'm very pleased to present this proposed project in partnership with the United States Soccer Foundation and Bay FC. The U.S. Soccer Foundation is a nonprofit that was founded in 1994 to promote and grow the sport of soccer. And Bay FC is the Bay Area's new professional women's soccer team. When the foundation and Bay FC approached the department, we were very excited for the opportunity for a partnership that could not only support the city's growing enthusiasm for soccer, but also provide an increased access to play and foster the next generation of athletes. As part of its Safe Places to Play initiative, the U.S. Soccer Foundation proposes an in-kind grant of materials and installation of a soccer mini pitch. The foundation aims to install 1,000 mini pitches across the country by 2026, and they're well on their way with over 700 already installed. Mini pitches are customized hard surfaces suited for soccer programs and pickup games. The mini pitch includes everything needed to transform an underutilized area into a fully equipped soccer pitch. The 50-foot by 84-foot mini pitch is an all-in-one modular system that includes fencing, goals, benches, and lockable storage space. And here are just some sample photos and images of other sites. The proposed location of the mini pitch is at the eastern end of Crocker Amazon along Moscow Street, where you can see that big red arrow. This aerial outlines the general placement of the pitch. We're working to fine-tune the placement, but it will cover part of the existing volleyball courts that are there. And this is what it looks like from the ground. It's very spacious. The colors of the pitch, This is a bird's eye view rendering of what the pitch would look like from above. The colors are going to be gray and blue, and the Bay FC logo is in the center with the U.S. Soccer Foundation in the bottom right. The project includes 9 signboards that will have photos and inspirational phrases for spectators and players. And the signboards will be posted on the fencing of the mini pitch facing in toward the playing surface. And one of the signboards will acknowledge supporters of the project. And so here we have a signboard acknowledging Rec Park, the U.S. Soccer Foundation, Bay FC, and the 6th Street Foundation. We respectfully ask the commission to approve the Rec and Park Department's request to accept and expend this in-kind grant and the donor recognition element. This concludes my presentation. I'm open to any questions that you might have.
Thank you.
I made it.
Do we have any public comment on item 8 in room 416? I know we have one hand raised on our WebEx, so let's move to that person. We're going to unmute you, and you'll have 2 minutes.
Hi, thank you, everyone. My name's Alex Bard, and I'm the senior director of the Safe Places to Play program at the U.S. Soccer Foundation. Really, really excited about this project and wanted to just add in a little more information about the U.S. Soccer Foundation's goals and mission. Our Mini Pitch program aims to create new soccer play spaces in underserved communities that have traditionally lacked access to play, as well as funding to install and maintain soccer pitches. These projects transform the look and feel of communities, help change safety perceptions, and build neighborhood cohesion. The foundation's goal is to build 1,000 of these mini pitches by 2026. We've completed over 700 projects to date, working across the nation in urban and rural communities alike. We're so grateful to our partners, both the city and the NWSL's newest club, the AFC, that have come together to make this project a reality, our first ever in San Francisco. Evaluating our work, we have found the communities that receive mini pitch donations like this are more active, feel that their community is safer, and report that mini pitches often serve as community hubs or gathering places for young people and families. Our goals are twofold: to improve communities and increase access to the sport of soccer. We're so excited about this project at Crocker Amazon Park and what it will mean for local children and families. We hope this is only the start of a relationship with the city to bring more access to soccer. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further comment, public comment is closed. Commissioners?
Commissioner Hallisey.
Yes, Susan, thanks for your presentation. I think this is a tremendous idea. Obviously, from your rendering here, we see that there's space for it. One question, will this be a permitted space or unpermitted?
Permitted by the department?
Yes.
The intention is for it to be a free play space.
Okay, so it's a pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you.
There may be programs, Commissioner, from time to time, mm-hmm. But all intended to increase access to the sport.
Sure, okay.
Department Head Ginsburg.
Yeah, just a big thank you. Well, first to Susan for ushering this one, and to Alex and Ed and all the folks at the U.S. Soccer Foundation. We're so excited to work with you, and thank you for recognizing San Francisco as the hub of the world's beautiful game as it is. Also, incredible thanks and excitement for Bay FC. And Sixth Street and the Sixth Street Foundation for their partnership. There's a lot more to come here, folks, in terms of our very exciting emerging relationship with Bay FC. This is really wonderful. As someone who cares a lot about the sport and knows a thing or two about it, one of the things that Alex touched on this, that a court like this and like others done by street soccer, and we have so many courts all throughout the city, does, is it sort of by allowing for unstructured play and for pickup in very local areas, it helps tackle what is an unfortunate reality about youth sports generally that Commissioner Hallisey, you in particular know, Carrie, you're probably very well aware of, which is, you know, sort of the pay-to-play model and extensive amounts of travel, right? So if you are a young person looking to play and you got to spend 2 hours to go to a game and then you get 15 minutes of play and then you got to drive 2 hours back, mm-hmm. you know, a year or two from now, you may not be playing because it's just, you know, the cost benefit isn't there for the parent and maybe for the kid. And by allowing our young people, whether through informal pickup or recreational experiences, to have lots of touches on the ball, to just play and have fun, it is actually the way we develop youth soccer players most effectively.
Thank you. All right. Any other comments?
No.
You had something?
No.
Okay. Yeah, then I'm looking for a motion and a second, and you can look under the staff recommendation paragraph there.
Sure. Yeah, I have it.
Go ahead.
I move that we accept the grant from the U.S. Soccer Foundation for this mini pitch system at Crocker, and we approve the donor recognition program as well.
Accept and expend. Yep. Do I have a second?
I second.
A second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposition? None. It is approved.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank
I hope you see the opening
so
and
much.
Maybe play a little bit like you did for Lawn Bowlers.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, U.S. Soccer Foundation. Thank you so much.
All right. We are now on item 9. First, we'll start with public comment. Is there any public comment on any matters pertaining to the closed session today in room 416? None, and do we have...
Wait,
you...
I thought that lady was in front of me.
Oh.
I was letting her go first, and it turns out she was just walking out.
Oh, come on up.
Yes. Am I afforded 2 minutes?
You are afforded 2 minutes. Absolutely.
That's a shame. I was expected to be awarded 3 minutes.
Well, today it's 2 minutes.
I guess I'll just have to speak a little faster.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could possibly be meeting with legal counsel since you obviously don't have legal counsel. If you looked at 6710D, that should have led you to 6711 and then in turn to 67.8. That has a prescribed agenda item model that it's mandatory to follow. The fact that you didn't follow it does not inspire confidence. One of the requirements of that model is that you disclose the party, who's the plaintiff, who's the defendant, what's the case number, and that sort of thing. And then it lays out a possibility that you could be restricting that because it compromises your settlement posture. And you're supposed to check that box. And then it goes on to explain that you're required to record your closed session and to release that recording as soon as it's feasible with respect to the settlement discussions, precisely so that people can understand your rationalization, or the validity of your rationalization to go into comment, and the fact that you restricted your comments to only those items covered in your item. Now, in fact, it would be crucial for you to have a public comment section on who Furman was and why he gave money. It says here on your item that he generated revenues for the park and rec. I hope that is misinformation and not evidence of your malfeasance. What he did is he gave money for the further adornment of Golden Gate Park. Your report after this closed session is another item and should have another public comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here to comment on item 9? Okay, do we have any hands raised on our WebEx? Okay, zero hands raised. So public comment is closed. Let me give commissioners a few pieces of information. So first, we are going to ask that all staff and members of the public who are not pertinent to this item to please leave the meeting. Once that happens, I will be standing up to go put a closed session sign outside the door, and we will vote on whether to hold a closed session. So
Lisa,
just pause.
Going on. I'm going to ask Manu to explain before we get started.
I'll follow my brother.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We're basically discussing this
right now. At the end.
The normal
pattern I used to, but I assume it was.
So, okay. Great. Thanks, everybody. So, at this time, we are going to need a motion and a second to go into closed session, please.
Commissioners?
Antonio should stay. Antonio and Sarah are going to.
Okay, hand off. Thank you.
Lisa, can you send Antonio back in?
Oh. I'm not sure. Yeah, 1 second. We're waiting for Antonio, if Antonio's coming.
Okay, I guess we'll send him out. but go ahead and do motion in a second to hold closed session.
Okay, Antonio's here. All right, commissioners.
It's up to you, Manu.
I need a motion.
That's fine. I can.
And a second to enter closed session, please.
Okay, I'll give you
a
okay.
I move that we enter into closed session.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor state aye.
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 Any opposition? None. We are in closed session.
Okay. Go ahead.
SFGovTV. San Francisco Government Television.
Thank you.
Thank you.
SFGovTV, San Francisco Government Television.
Well, that was exciting.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, you know, it's like everything's so great. You know, he's like, then the park, and then there's a new bird, and everybody's happy, and you know what I mean? And then we gardened, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, mine's off. Oh, shit.
Okay, looks like everything's online. We are now in open session at 11:23 a.m. Commissioners, I need a motion and a second on whether you would like to report on an action on the action taken in closed session.
Would someone like to state a motion, please?
I'd like to make a motion to vote not to report what was discussed in closed session due to client privilege service.
Do I have a second? All those in favor state aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? I go nay.
Okay, commissioners, I need a motion and a second on whether to disclose any or all discussion held in closed session.
We just did that.
The first one was whether or not to report on the action taken in closed session. The second is whether to disclose the discussion held in closed session.
I move that we do not publicly disclose what was discussed to the public.
Yeah, I second that.
All those in favor state aye.
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 I state nay.
Okay. Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you.
All right, actually, we are now on item 10, general public comment. This is for items that are not on today's agenda. Is there anyone here for general public comment?
Yes, and I understand I'm afforded 2 minutes again.
Yes.
I apologize if I flummoxed that a little bit before. Perhaps I was startled by the fact that I only had 2 minutes. There's two things that I want to bring to your attention as a general matter. Of course, after protesting that there was not a public comment about your report, there's a provision that says to the extent, no, I'm sorry, a statute, court rule, or other authority shall be broadly construed if it furthers the people's right of access and narrowly construed if it limits the right of access. That's actually from the California Constitution, Article 1, Section 3B. The reason it's there is because good decisions are perforce fully informed decisions. And you can't make fully informed decisions without all of the information that would come to you in a public discussion with public awareness. Now, I got the impression from the way that was phrased about generated revenues for the department that you, in fact, don't know who Alfred Furman was. Alfred Furman was
I need you to keep it pretty general. If you refer back to item 9, then that wouldn't be general public comment.
Somebody gave a bequest to the city. Well, I'm talking about the nobility of bequests and the fact that you need to honor bequests even if you don't like Alfred Furman. Alfred Furman was one of the great San Franciscans. I wish I could inform you about that.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much. Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else here for public comment today? Seeing none in person, or are there any hands raised on our WebEx? No hands raised. Public comment is now closed. We're in item 11. Commissioners Matters. Commissioners, do you have anything to share?
I wanted to share that I have become a amateur tennis lover on our Rec and Park system, and I've been using the reservation system because I've been kind of curious, like, what's all this controversy about, right? And Sarah knows all about this, I'm sure. Maybe you can fill us in, but I dutifully make my reservations and I show up. And if I can't, I dutifully cancel my reservations. And often when I'm playing and I only got a 30-minute slot when I really wanted 60, I'll wait and see if someone shows up. And they don't. And there's no consequence. And I'm very frustrated by this. So I think we have something in the works. But as a consumer of this system, I'm glad we have it. But there has to be a consequence. People, be courteous. If you don't show up, cancel. Because I might like to play another 30 minutes. Do you have any comments for me on that, Sarah?
So as you may recall, we had a fee proposal in our budget that went to the Board of Supervisors that included a convenience fee for the ability to register. It applied to, and I see Bev in the audience, she might remember the stats better than I do, but I believe it was 48% of our courts were reservable. The remaining about half were free for walk-up play. And in that system and in that proposal, if you did behave courteously, as our commission president always does, and cancel your reservation, you got a refund minus the sort of processing costs. That was continued by the chair of the budget committee because there were a variety of concerns brought up during public comment. Our hope is to revisit that, I think, in the new year with a couple modifications based on public comment. The mayor's office was supportive. They did introduce the legislation for us, and they have expressed a commitment to continue to work with us on it. So we hope to be reviving that in the new year.
Well,
does that answer your question?
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I do think that we need a solution, and you know, there are many great minds in the city. Surely you can find something. And I've also been kind of curious about other rules. I read the tennis rules, and for example, on a court, there are supposed to be no more than two balls in play. And I was looking at it going, well, what's that about? And then again, I discovered a gentleman kicked me off the court, and he had a basket of balls. And I said, where's your partner? Oh, well, I'm just going to hit these balls. So I understand now why that rule is important. Our courts are designed for play, two people or more, not really for you to bring up your basket and practice. Right? Mm-hmm. Our reservable courts. You can do that elsewhere, I suppose. And finally, I want to comment that the reason why dogs are not allowed on the courts is because sometimes they poop on the courts, and I have seen that on our lovely courts too. So I would just encourage our people to try harder to be good citizens on the tennis courts. Thank you.
In the meantime, though, since she paid for the first half hour and played for free for the second half hour, does she give that money to Bev or to you?
That would be Dana.
Oh, Dana. All right.
She'll be coming for you.
Checking.
You get a big zero on that. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to my venting. Okay.
Okay. Is there any public comment on item 11? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We're now on item 12, new business agenda setting. Is there any new business, commissioners? Okay. Now we're now on item 13, communications. Any discussion on the communications? Okay, any public comment on the communications? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We're now on item 14, adjournment.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
A second?
Second.
All those in favor state aye.
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 We are adjourned at 11:33 a.m. Nice.